Hi, this is Brian Doyle with the International Sports Federation and Global Serve, and you are listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast with Steve Anderson and Matthew McKay.
Welcome back to the Youth Ministry Sherpas, episode number 10.
Good to have you back. My name is Steve Anderson.
And I'm Matthew McCabe, and we are the Youth Ministry Sherpas, helping youth workers to keep going.
Yeah. So, Matthew, how was your weekend, man?
My weekend was flat out exhausting.
But why is that?
In the good kind of ways. A combination of a busy ministry weekend. We had a big event Friday night. Full Sunday, and then I spent Saturday poolside, multiple different pools in multiple different states, actually.
Wow.
Watching my kids do the thing that they love to do, which I love to do, but it can be exhausting.
A long day at the pool, huh?
Long day at the pool.
I don't know. I've never really liked swimming, so I admire you guys for being a swimming family. But do you ever get tired of just being in inside that smelly, chlorine-filled air all day long?
I'd be lying if I didn't say yes. Sometimes I get tired of it. But again, these are the choices we have. The other option is they could be baseball players or soccer players, and I could be sitting on a field in 40 degrees and rain.
Oh, my gosh, yes. That's
and you,
true.
You've probably been there before.
I have been there. Oh my gosh, some baseball games were just so miserable.
So every choice has its ups and its downs. My kids love to swim. I love to watch them do what they love. So
absolutely.
You know what, at the end of the day, it's all good. How about your weekend, Steve?
Yeah, my weekend was good. It was busy. I was preaching at the main services this weekend here. So it kind of filled up my weekend. And I've been trying this year to take Fridays off. I used to take Mondays off, and I'm still working on it because I didn't get my Friday off this week because I was working on my sermon for the weekend. So
you did not get your day
off. I did not get my day off, and now with the retreat coming up this coming weekend, and it just doesn't look like it's going to happen again. So not necessarily happy with how that's working out so far, but going to work on it, man. I got to keep working on my boundaries, keep things in order.
Yeah, you definitely got to do that because getting that day off, setting those boundaries for yourself are something that can help us keep going.
Absolutely.
If we don't set them, and we stay outside the boundaries, bad things typically happen.
They do. You get really burned out and exhausted, and it's just like the other night. I have two dogs, and we have a fenced-in backyard, so we like to let them out in the yard, but one of them, Twist and Tango. Tango is the fat one, and Twist is the lithe, agile one. So she goes over the fence all the time.
Well, why wouldn't you? I mean, there's got to be things to explore on the other side of the fence.
I know, and she could just jump over like it's nothing. We don't have electric fence or anything. So, yeah, so she will often go outside the fence and just go exploring, follow her nose wherever it goes. And the other night, it's like 11:30, it's freezing cold, and I let her out to do her last pee, before bed.
You gotta do that thing.
She wasn't out there 60 seconds, and she's gone. So I'm out there in
fence,
my slip.
Fence optional for Twist.
There's a rabbit or a squirrel or who knows what outside. There's a park behind her fence. And, so I'm out there in my slippers and my T-shirt just freezing my butt off, chasing down this dog. My only flashlight was my phone. I'm yelling her name. She's completely ignoring me, and I'm thinking, I should be sleeping right now.
This is
costing me sleep and comfort, and I was not happy.
Being outside the boundaries always has a cost.
She did come home, thankfully.
That's good to know.
Yeah. How about you?
Yeah, so my family tends to be a family of speedsters, leadfoots, as it will. We tend to drive, not reckless, but consistently across the board, my family tends to drive just a little bit north of the stated boundary.
Do they take after you in this regard?
I'd like to say it's my wife, but it's probably me.
It's probably you.
But anyway, we've all been hit with the same stick. And see, where I live here in Montgomery County, they're a big fan of speed cameras.
Yes, love free, speed cameras. Easy money for the government.
Absolutely.
It's great.
Problem with a speed camera is that you don't know it happened when it happened. I mean, you might might see the flash, but otherwise you don't know. So in my house, we have this contest always that when the mail comes and the ticket comes in the mail.
I love it when mail comes.
There's a speed camera ticket, $40. Now it's the contest. who was driving what vehicle on what day. So calendars come out, schedules come out.
No way.
Trying to figure out, because in our family,
it's you're sharing cars, so you don't know.
We share cars. We don't know who's. We don't know who it was and who was there, and so we have to get down, because in our family, you get the ticket. You pay for the ticket. I don't care if you're a 16-year-old kid or you're a 49-year-old father. You're responsible for your own mistakes. And so it's always this game of who was outside the boundaries and who's getting dinged $40.
Do you guys celebrate when you get one? Is it like a...
No, but most of the people celebrate when they have an airtight alibi. And it was not them in that car at that time.
That's a good point. Yeah. So, yeah, bad things happen when you're outside boundaries and you put yourself in danger. And take away from, you know, just the place that you should be.
Absolutely. And kind of what we're talking about here is this idea of youth workers keep going. All right, we want youth workers to stay in the game for the long haul. And if you stay outside the boundaries, you could maybe not be in it for the long haul.
Yeah. So we want to talk about what are the boundaries that you can put around your life and your ministry that help you stay healthy, help you stay, connected to your family, connected to God, things that you're just not at everyone's beck and call 24/7 so that you can stay in this for a long time.
So you're fresh and you're able to keep going. And so we want to talk about a couple of different places in our lives where you need to kind of have some boundaries so that you do it well. And one of those, we already mentioned it today, and that is a day off.
Yeah, the day off. Everybody should have a day off. If you don't have a day off at your church has a health issue.
Right. You need to talk to somebody because you need a day off.
I remember my very first interview when I was coming out of seminary, I was looking at churches to go to work for, and I got this call from this pastor in Florida. And this guy, for about 10 minutes, proceeded to tell me about his weekly pattern for ministry and how every day he was out visiting people. He didn't take any days off. He was out in the evenings, and he was just gung-ho ministry all the time. And I'm listening to this guy, and I'm thinking, your family hates you. I guarantee your family hates you, and I guarantee that nobody could work for that guy because he's just driven to the point of ridiculous exhaustion.
Right, and that's just not healthy and probably not something that can be sustained for the long term.
Yeah.
And so we've got to build this pattern in where we take a day.
Yeah.
Maybe even two.
Preferably two if you can work it out.
On a great week, maybe you get two, but certainly a day. You know, and because we do youth work, probably in churches, that day is probably during the week, right? Which is great. I love having a day off when everybody else has to go to work.
Yeah, your Monday is everybody else's Saturday, right?
I know. Yeah. I take Mondays off, and I love it. In fact, I'm not a big fan of Memorial Day or Labor Day
exactly.
or MLK Day or President's Day because I think, no, this is my day. People, you need to go back to work because I like my Mondays. I like to carve that time out.
Yeah.
Stores are empty. You know,
the golf course. We hit the golf course on Mondays. Yeah, it's great. Yeah, I've been trying to, just this year, I decided to try to switch my day off to Friday, which I haven't done really ever in all my years of ministry, really for the purpose of trying to get 2 days off in a row, because I do have most Saturdays off unless there's a retreat or I'm preaching or whatever, and so I'm just trying it out. It's not, like I said at the intro, it's not working out too well. I got a retreat this weekend. I preached this past weekend. I have another retreat in 3 weeks, so I'm getting there.
But you're going to effort towards it.
I'm going to make an effort.
Because it's important. Now, it's not just taking the day off. That's the start.
That's right.
You got to carve that day. You got to find that day. And if it's a consistent day, I think that's better, personally.
Yes, I agree.
But then it's how do you manage that day off?
You have to protect it.
We live in a connected world.
Yes, you have to protect it. And so I think it's really important to treat your day off as if, almost as if you are just leaving the universe.
Just checked out.
Checked out.
Not available anymore.
Yeah. So one thing that I suggest, and I wrote a blog about this that's up on our website, is don't check your email on your day off. Just don't do it.
It's so tempting, though, especially
now
because it's in my pocket. My email is in my pocket.
Yeah.
If I take my phone out, I can access it all.
You know what?
I don't
have my work email on my phone, and that's intentional. I also can't figure out how to set it up, but it's intentional that I don't. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's just a personal thing. I have it on every other computer.
Brilliant by accident.
Yeah, brilliant by accident. There you go. Steve. But no, have you ever checked your email on your day off and been like, why in the heck did I do that?
Yes, I would love to say that I protect my day off religiously, but quite often I get lost. And sometimes it's with noble and, you know, it's noble intentions. I want to be available.
Yeah.
Or I, you know, it's with selfish intentions. I don't want to have, you know, 50 emails staring at me on Tuesday morning when I get in the office.
Right.
And so I think, oh, I'll just sneak on there real quick, clean things up a little bit.
I do the same thing.
It'll be real easy. And then, of course, it always is until, like, and your blog is brilliant, sir. But until you get that email on a Monday that will not just take up the 2 minutes it took to read that email on that Monday, it will take up your whole day mentally.
Yeah.
Because it's that crushing email. It's that dagger. It's that knife. It's that complaint. And it's a
noose around your neck, and it keeps you from actually getting away, enjoying your day off. Yeah. It's not worth it.
It's not worth it. So you got to not check your email. And I think that also goes to, what other forms of communication do we have? We get text messaging.
Yeah.
We've got social media.
Yeah.
You know, and
do
so
you check your phone on your day off?
I do check my phone on my day off. And this is an interesting thing. I don't even know where I stand on this. This is just a great conversation because I'm a raging extrovert. And I know that's different than you, Steve. I understand that. And so I get my juice. I get my mojo from interacting with people.
Right.
And so it sounds like a brilliant idea to just take some time to be alone on my day off. And I do need that. And I do work at doing that, but I also need that interaction with people. So I love to get on social media on Monday. I love to interact with people. I love to do all that, but there's a danger.
There is.
Because there's a danger to get sucked into things that I shouldn't be sucked into. And there's a danger for my mind to get pulled into things that could very well wait till Tuesday for my mind to get pulled into. And then again, that's going to affect my ability to truly rest, to truly be refreshed on that day off so that I'm ready for a new week's worth of ministry demands.
Yeah, this is a struggle for me too because I enjoy social media. So I like to just on Monday morning or now Friday morning, hopefully, just sit at my computer by myself. The house is empty because my wife's a teacher and she's off at work. Just tool around on social media, check out Facebook, Instagram, whatever. I kind of enjoy it, but I also think I probably do that too much, that it might be better for me, honestly, to disengage from social media on my day off as well and totally chill, go outside, get exercise, you know, go shopping, go do something fun outside and just totally unplug. I think that would probably be a better plan for me personally.
Yeah, and I've toyed with that idea too here, and I've run some beta testing, you know, where I'm trying to unplug, you know, like I put my phone away for a couple hour block or something,
right,
like a 4 hour block and say, okay, you know, but then, you know, say, okay, now you can get on Twitter and look at all your sports tweets that you didn't get on Sunday because you were running from, you know, here to there and catch up on the day's games and stuff like that. So I'm still playing with it, but I think, you know, we all have to take an honest look at what is it that's going to refresh us and make us ready for a new week worth of ministry demands. And we have to then put those boundaries in place. And again, I don't think they'll be cookie cutter. I mean, I think there are some principles. You got to have a day off every week and you shouldn't check your email and things like that. But there's a lot else of it that is going to be personal.
I'd just like to throw out maybe an idea to consider as a boundary when it comes to your phone, right? You're going to have your phone on your day off because your wife's going to be calling you or your husband or, you know, your kids or whatever. And you got to respond to that. And there could be an emergency. That's obviously an exception. But what if we took the approach where we don't respond to anything that just isn't that important? If it's on our phone, we get a text message from a kid about a retreat registration or whatever. We just don't respond on our day off. What if we just take that approach and say, that's my personal boundary. I know it's going to show up. My phone's in my pocket because I'm going out, but I'm not going to respond on my day off. Do you think that's possible?
I think it's possible. I think it's going to be difficult and be hard because I think we have We have tendencies to wanna just respond to that. But yeah, that would be a discipline. That would be a boundary that you could put in place. Because I love that when I do fail and I check the email, don't you love the email or the text? Like, hey, I know it's your day off and I'm sorry to bother you, but... Well, no, you're not sorry. If you were sorry, you wouldn't have sent the email or the text.
Exactly.
It's just a slippery slope once we start doing that. And so to have that unplugged time and to figure out how to... protect that day off. I just think it's really important. I know, for me, over the years, being really disciplined about that day off is, I think, one of the reasons I'm still kicking around in ministry.
I just thought of something else, too, that I think is worth saying. If you are a leader of others, if you're the pastor and you have a staff, you have people who work for you, it would be better if you also left them alone on their day off. And I know I'm guilty of that because something will pop into my head and I just want to get it out of my mind and onto their mind because they are responsible for it. And so I'll shoot them off a quick text late at night or on their day off. I shouldn't do that. Like, that's definitely a violation of the same principles that I'm trying to put into my own life. I should not be doing that.
We need to set the example.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. So it's just something to think about. So the day off is one place where we need to have a set boundary.
But I think... communication is another, even not on your day off. Communication the rest of the week, because communication these days is 24/7. Mm-hmm. People think they have access and technically do have access to us 24/7, 365.
It's a CNN world, right?
Right.
All information all the time, and people expect immediate information and answers to everything.
Right. Our culture is built on, if I send you a text message, if I haven't heard back from you in 10 minutes, that there's some drama or there's some problem, or maybe you're asleep.
You don't like me anymore.
And so, we have to find those times, even on a day where I'm technically working. On a Tuesday, I go in, staff meeting, you staff meeting,
right.
and all kinds of stuff. But then I'm going to go home that evening, and I'm going to have dinner with my family. Like, in my house, dinner's a big deal.
I love this.
Even with four kids just involved in everything they could be involved in, sport-wise and church-wise and everything else, we've protected the dinner hour, and I don't know how it's worked out over the years, but
it is amazing that you've been able to do that.
Very rare that we don't sit down as a family and have dinner together. And because of their schedules, that is about the only time of the day that we're all sort of present in the same place. Mm-hmm. So we have built a culture where that meal lingers. It's not uncommon for us to sit around the dinner table for an hour, hour and a half.
That's fantastic.
And just it's kind of our time. And so we have a simple rule at the table. It's two things: no phones and no farting.
How do you control the second?
Well, you have no control over the second. Although every now and again, my teenage boys will get up, leave the room, and then come back.
Oh, then you know what they're doing. They're either checking their phone or they're
right. Yeah. And literally, we don't allow phones at the table. Like, we don't even allow phones in our dining room. Like, okay. They have to stay elsewhere.
That's excellent.
Nothing is going to happen in that hour and a half.
Yeah.
That I have to respond to immediately. I need
Absolutely.
To. That time is my family's time. They need my full attention.
Yeah.
They don't just need my presence sitting at the table eating a burger. They need my mental energy involved in them telling me what their day was like, me telling them what my day was like, the highs and the lows and the victories. And
think of the example that you're setting for them too. That the time, the people in front of you, and the time right now in the present is more important than that other person who thinks they need your attention, who isn't even here, who probably isn't that important in this moment. I just think that's wonderful.
Yeah, and it's been really good. They don't love it all the time.
Yeah.
But I think they appreciate it in the end.
They will definitely appreciate it in the future, for sure.
So
that's excellent. Well, how about late at night? Do you have similar ideas about getting texts late at night or...
Yeah, I just think that there's no reason for us to feel like we need to be accessible 24/7.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly there are emergencies, and they happen. I understand that. Families fall apart. Kids make dumb decisions. Kids go to the hospital. Parents go to the hospital. I mean, that's a different scenario. But a text at 11:30 at night that says, hey, what time do we have to be at church on Friday?
Do I need to bring a pillow this weekend?
Yeah. What am I supposed to pack? That not only does it not I don't think, not only does it not require immediate response, I think that by the fact that they're texting you at 11:30, it doesn't deserve a response until, a lot of times, and this is, I'm just going to go ahead and be brutally honest right here.
Please do.
Quite often, I'm a morning person. I love the mornings. I get up 4:30 or 5 a lot of mornings of the week. And so if I get a text at 11 or 11:30 at night from a student, I will often respond to them at about 5 or 5:05 in the morning when I get up. Kind of helping.
I'll poke you.
Exactly. Yeah. It's very passive-aggressive of me to help them understand that, like, you know, maybe there's a better window of opportunity our communication.
I have a habit. It's not even a habit. It's just a reality. I don't take my phone into my bedroom. So I don't have my phone by my bedside. I have an alarm clock. They still make them.
They do. I hear that.
I like my alarm clock. And my wife brings her phone in. It drives me nuts because it'll beep from one of her teacher friends about curriculum tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Like, turn that thing off. But no, I leave it up on the kitchen counter. And if there's an emergency, I might miss it. Maybe it's happened. It happened this year. I won't go into that today. But that's so rare. It's so rare. And the violations of that would be so common. To me, it's a worthwhile trade-off. So I leave it on the kitchen counter, and you know, there's a chance I could hear it if they kept calling and it kept ringing, that I might hear it and go up. But I'm not going to hear text message.
And if it's a diehard emergency, I'm guessing they would know your wife's phone number, and her phone's near there, right?
So yeah, I mean, it's going to happen. So
it's going to happen.
I think having some boundaries around our phone time and not feeling like you have to answer everybody's text immediately. You know, maybe you say after 9 o'clock, I'm not going to answer any texts, or at the dinner table, or in the evenings when I'm home with my family. That's my time.
Yeah,
I'm not going to respond.
I think so you're sitting in the bleachers watching your kids do something.
Oh, yeah.
Are you watching your kids do something, or are you catching up on email? I mean, that communicates a lot.
And
I think it builds patterns in the people that are communicating with us. I mean, if you respond to their email within 5 minutes at 8:30 at night, then chances are you're going to get another email the next night, and then they're going to be mad if you don't respond the next night. So you got to build those healthy boundaries in, both for you and for the people that are communicating with
you. Yeah, I think that's really good. The third category you thought of is boundaries around social media.
Yeah, and this is a tough one.
Yeah, this is really hard. We don't have answers to this
one. We do not have answers, because we talked quite a bit before recording this episode about this, and just have a lot of thoughts. I mean, the one thing we thought about was having separate accounts, right? So you have your student ministry accounts. You have Instagram and Facebook or Twitter for your student ministry, and then you have your personal.
I just did that this year. I created a personal Instagram account, separated it out from the youth ministry stuff. It's a way that I can post pictures of my dogs, my family, my kids. There's a little bit of overlap with ministry stuff. We talked about that privately. You know, pictures of me with friends from the youth ministry, or occasionally a picture of an event, because it's part of my life.
Sure.
But it's still separate. And so the youth ministry account then becomes about kids, about the ministry, about events and stuff like that. It becomes more of a publicity tool. I think that's healthy. It also separates out our personality from the ministry a little bit, which is healthy for the ministry.
Right, that the ministry is not completely based on our personality.
Absolutely.
And it has its own identity, it has its own place, and its own thing.
Yeah.
But then we get to that personal account. Even still, you can call it a personal account, but we don't go to the factory and punch in at 8:30 and go home at 4:30, right? This is a different life. This is a different kind of job that integrates, and the lines get blurred between personal and ministry. So
sure they do,
that certainly is going to happen in our personal social media accounts.
I think that's okay. Don't you think that's okay?
I think it's okay. But because of it, I think there has to be boundaries there. We have to be careful what we post, because what we post is not only going to reflect on us as a person, which I think obviously that matters. It matters to me how I present myself to my students, as well as to my friends from college. How I do, but we're connected to the ministry. We're connected to the church. So anything we post there's no way to disconnect that.
That's right.
From there, so there has to be some boundaries there.
Yeah, so there are just categories that we thought of that you just have to kind of be really careful about. Anything political, you know. You're asking for a fight. We're based in Maryland, and so, you know, if Matthew posts a picture of himself wrapped in a Confederate flag,
I don't think it would go well.
I don't think it's going to go very well. So we just try to avoid anything that's really controversial or can be divisive among people. That's just not worthwhile.
Yeah, it's just not worthwhile. So
some issues like, you know, posting pictures of you maybe out drinking a beer with your friends may not be the best thing. We're both in church cultures where it's not a big deal. You might be in a different culture where it is a big deal. We had an encounter one time with a buddy of ours at Simply Youth Ministry Conference, and we were just hanging out and eating some nachos and drinking a beer. And the one young man, you remember?
Yes, yeah, I know. I remember somebody pulled out a phone to take a picture.
He was
like
from
a picture.
So I think he's from a Southern Baptist church or it was a conservative church in the South. And there was definitely not the tolerance of any kind of drinking there, which is fine, totally fine. Yeah. But he ran from that table. He
ran from the table for fear of having a picture taken of him and being posted with him sitting at a table and you know, eating nachos and drinking.
Which,
a beer.
Even though we made fun of him, that was really smart of him, actually, because he was using his sense of boundaries in that circumstance, and we should have respected that a little bit more than
absolutely.
We did at the time. So yeah, just watch what you post in terms of your moral behavior, your political views, and I just try to have an attitude, paint a picture. It's not even painting a picture. It's really a real representation of myself and my social media self, of just being a pleasant, winsome, thoughtful, fun Christian. I want people to be able to look at my social media and say, I like this guy. If they're not a Christian, they're going to look at it and say, I like this guy, even if I don't necessarily agree with what he believes. He seems like a good guy. He loves his family. He has fun. He's got a good sense of humor. He's not super divisive about stuff. He whines about the Steelers too much, but, you know.
Yeah, we can live with that. We can live with that.
Just try to take put a really winsome kind of atmosphere on all your social media.
Yeah, because there's far too much of the opposite out there.
Absolutely.
And if you're on any social media, I'm sure you see it and read it every day, and you get frustrated and you get angry. Let's just make sure that we put boundaries in place that we're never the people that are making people frustrated and angry. Like, I can't believe they would say that, or why would they start that fight, or why would they be divisive in that way? Yeah, winsome, just positive. And
it could be authentic. I mean, if you're struggling, that's fine, but just not... We all know those people on social media, and they kind of drive you nuts.
Yeah, and for me, one of the things that I've struggled with is, you know, and again, not to be inauthentic about it, but to have my social media profiles be an actual representation of the integrated life that I live. That
absolutely.
There are pictures of my kids and my wife and my dog and golf and all those things. But at the same time, there's pictures of the student ministry event that we did last weekend and the retreat we had, because that's just as much a part of my life as my dog and my family is. And so it's all got to show up there in sort of a representative balance of who I am as a person. And
I think that's a good way to look at it.
I think it's
kind of represent your holistic self. Absolutely. On social media. Yeah.
Yeah.
The final category that we came up with for really setting a boundary around is the vacation.
The vacation. Again, if you're at a church that doesn't allow you to have any vacation time, we would like to talk to your senior pastor. Just message us on our Facebook page, and we'll take care of it. We'll take the heat for you. But yeah, you got to have a vacation. You got to have some time where you get away for multiple days at a time. Because again, the day off is great, but boy, how much can you decompress in 24 hours? And so to have this a week's vacation, or even a 2-week vacation to really step away. But boy, are we going to have to set some boundaries for that.
And here I think we have a little bit more of a hard and fast opinion. And that opinion is totally separate yourself from the church when you're on vacation.
Completely
just
disconnect.
Do it. Just completely disconnect.
In fact, cut the cord.
Absolutely.
And just disconnect, because there is no win in being connected, because the point of you getting away is to get away. And so any line back in just defeats the purpose of kind of stepping away. And I don't think that's healthy for you. And I actually don't think it's healthy for your church either.
It's not. It makes them codependent on you. They think they have to come to you for that answer. So when you're on vacation, completely engage on the vacation and just don't be contacting people back home about what's going on at church. Just don't do it.
Do not text your volunteer leaders who you put in charge of youth group that week while you were gone and say, how did it go? That's it. It seems like an innocent question, and you probably do want to know, but what are you going to do about whatever they tell you?
If it went poorly, you're going to think, oh man, I messed up, or they messed up, I got to fix it when I get back. If it went well, and you're kind of like me in the past, you might be thinking, oh, they don't need me back there.
You're worried about coming back to a clean office.
There's no win in that. The point?
Yeah.
It just shows how much you're codependent on being needed.
On being needed, yeah.
And they're codependent on you. They need you, and it's just not healthy.
It's a vicious cycle. And it's so if you're going to go on vacation, I think you just got to completely unplug. You got to completely unplug for your health, just for your own. And again, to step away from that need to be needed, to step away from that savior complex, to step away from that, this whole thing hinges on me. I think there's a lot of health in that.
Absolutely.
To be able to step away and, again,
and do
also
it
for the church.
Be guilt-free about it. Don't think, oh, I didn't respond to Tommy who texted me about his issue at home, and he's going to think I don't love him and don't care about him. No.
Yeah.
You're going to survive. He's going to survive. Unless it's an absolute emergency. Obviously, there's exceptions. But just, it's okay.
Yeah.
Be free. Cut the cord. Let it go.
They have these beautiful technological advances called automatic replies.
Really?
Yes.
Tell
so that
more.
You could put on your email that I am not going to read any emails from this date until this date. So if this is an emergency, you should contact somebody else who's not you. Again, very healthy, right?
Wish they could do that for text messages.
I think you can do that for text messages.
No way. Seriously.
I'm pretty sure the technology exists in 2018 where you could do an automatic reply on a text message. And so to to talk about it. Talk about it with your students. Talk about it with your leaders. Talk about it with your church staff before you go. Hey, look, I'm going on vacation and I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be available and... So you set the expectations ahead of time so that Johnny isn't disappointed. He didn't, he told us last week at youth group that he wasn't going to be around this week. And then he was, oh, that's right. That's why he didn't respond. And then we're okay. Everybody's fine.
Yeah.
Everybody lives.
Yeah. I just think that's such a healthier way to approach vacation, to completely cut the cord and just go and enjoy yourself.
Yep.
Engage with the people you love.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm fortunate enough to work at a church that offers their pastoral staff a sabbatical every 7 years.
Oh.
If you are not at one of those churches, again, I'd love to talk to your senior pastor because I think it's a pretty phenomenal thing. And it was hard for me. I took one. I actually have one coming up this year.
I know you do.
Very excited about that. But I remember taking a sabbatical 7 years ago, and I remember the thought of not checking my email for 8 weeks. Just... It was beyond my comprehension because stepping away for a week of vacation and saying I'm not going to respond to any, that's one thing. Then to look at 2 months, it was something else. So, but I did it. I did not check my email once.
I'm still pretty ticked off. I sent you like 25 messages.
I know. So. I know. 8 weeks. and it was interesting. What I did is we hired an intern that summer. And
right.
They sort of were the me while I was gone. And I had that intern have access to my email. And I just told that intern, if you can respond to it, respond to it, and then delete it. If it's just junk, delete it. If you think I need to see this for any reason, like if it just feels like, oh, he'll want to see this, put it in the folder, and I'll look at it when I get back.
That was a great approach.
When I got back, there were 12 emails in that folder. 12. Mm. I expected 200. But no, you know what? Life happened. Ministry happened, good things happened, and I wasn't a part of it.
Yeah, that's really healthy.
And I came back pretty refreshed.
That's really healthy, yeah.
Pretty fired up. So much so that I cannot wait for a couple months from now when I get to do it again.
Yeah.
So the boundaries are important because
they keep you going.
They keep you going, and that's what this is about. Keep going.
So think about that. When you think about your day off, keep that as sacred. Don't be checking your emails on your day off. You don't have to check your phone or respond to everybody who wants to get a hold of you that day. When you think about communication, and just on a daily basis, you're home in the evening with your family, you don't have to respond to everybody right away. It's just a
healthy... for dinner with friends, you don't need to respond during that. You got to think about what those boundaries are going to be for you that are going to keep you healthy and fresh and keep you in student ministry for the long haul.
Social media, try to create that public persona of yourself, the integrated, holistic life of a youth leader. You love kids, you love student ministry, but you also have a life outside of that. Keep that winsome, keep that positive. Don't be one of those social media people.
And when it comes to vacation, cut the cord. Just shut down, step away, and be okay with it. Guilt-free, let other people step in the gap and take time for yourself and your family to refresh.
So these are things that we've learned and we still struggle with. Honestly, we don't have all the answers to this, and we just want to encourage you to think through these things and try to create these boundaries around your life that'll enable you to keep going, not get swallowed up and chewed up and spit out in ministry, but actually have a healthy life, a healthy family, and keep going for a long time.
Absolutely. So if you visit our website, youthministrysherpas.com, you'll find show notes for today's episode with some questions that might help you think through how to set some boundaries and maybe where your boundaries are maybe a little too loose or a little too strict, and just to kind of take a real good look at what your boundaries should be.
And if you want to talk about it on our Facebook page, you can post some comments there. We'd love to have a conversation about that. We understand that in many contexts, it's a lot easier said than done. And the culture of your church may place demands on you that maybe don't fit with some of what we've said. And we understand that. But let's talk about that. Let's see if we can work through that together.
Yep, absolutely. It'd also be helpful if you went to iTunes and gave us a review of our podcast so that we can help get this podcast out to as many people as possible.
Yep. So having said that, we are now going to take a break because it's Matthew's day off and he needs to go enjoy some time and take his day all to himself. So thanks for listening. Youth Ministry Sherpas, helping youth workers to keep going.
See you next time.